The following podcast on the WDKX Podcast Network is
provided by Vision Automotive.
Hello, everybody. Welcome again to another edition of Move the Needle on the podcast show. I am Sebrin O. Johnson, not only pastor of the Greater Harvest Church, but I'm the CEO of Edceptional, and I have my good friend here with me.
Hey, hi, everybody. It's Dr. Paul Miller, the CEO of Chartered Champions, and we are here to bring some heat today. We got a big guest in here. We are going to move this needle, and we're going to have an interesting conversation, and my host here, Sebrin Johnson, is going to tell us what we're talking about today.
All right. I'm happy about that. We've been arguing just before we went on live on the podcast. I'm the Alpha. He's the Omega. And so we mix it a different kind of way. But we agree that there's a better way to do education, and our kids absolutely deserve it. And so we're going to have a little conversation about what makes charters different from the RCSD board. How does that work? And we have somebody here who's going to talk with us. It's the what, the so what, and the now what. The what. What makes boards different at all? What is that all about? The so what. Why is it important for us to have real, meaningful dialogue? No frills, no watered-down conversation, but real dialogue. And toward the end, our good friend Dr. Miller will come back and give us the now what. What are we going to do with this now that we've been fed some information from a very, very important guest of ours? Dr. Miller, you want to kick the show off?
So, you know, we're talking about boards, school boards. Charters have boards, as well as traditional publics have boards. And so the boards are an important integral piece of a school district. And so we have a gentleman here who happens to be on a board. He happens to be on a board that is governing, or supposed to be governing, the Rochester City School District. He is the one and only James Patterson. So James is going to introduce himself, tell us a little bit about himself, tell us what's his why, you know, why is he here, why he initially joined, and just who is he? And so James is a sitting member of the Rochester City School District and actually has a board meeting coming up. So we're going to get his perspective on things today, on why it's different than charter schools. And we're going to learn a little bit more on the educational system through his lens. So, James, can you tell us a little bit of who are you, what do you do, and why are you here?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out, because if you're the Alpha and he's the Omega, I'm somewhere in the middle, so I'm trying to figure myself out right now.
Are you a Sigma?
Don't say that.
But anyway, thank you very much, you know, the both of you for having me, you know, on, you know, this forum. My name is James Patterson. Once again, I'm a commissioner, a year and a half with the Rochester City School District. And a little bit about history. I served 27 years in law enforcement, majority of which was with the New York State Police, 12 years as an investigator. I retired after 27 years, and I don't want to go back and give you the year, but anyway,
what's the year, man? Don't hold on to us. You're looking like a young jitterbug over
27,
here.
I've been adding up 27.
Come on, man.
2010, man. I retired 2010 right. After 27 years, man.
Okay.
When I was at the age of 49. I went back to school, got my master's in education, and became a certified teacher through New York State. I've been a counselor advisor in the Doorway to Success program at MCC. I've taught at BOCES. I've taught at Nativity Preparatory Academy, a long-term sub for the district. And also, I was part of the inception of the Career Pathways of Public Safety program for the district, where I built the police into the program. So I worked in that along with an investigator for Bowen Vargas down at district, central office. I lost my son in 2014, unfortunately. Thank you.
I didn't know that.
And so I resigned from my part-time positions and worked on myself for a good year. And the Lord brought me out of that, gave me back all my peace and joy that had been missing for a good year when I was in the valley. So brought me back out. I was the executive director for Rochester Youth for Christ for a few years. COVID kind of closed that. And when it was time to open, God put it on my spirit to run for school board. So here I am as a servant, his servant, serving him, you know, in the school board of the Rochester City School District.
I remember talking to Commissioner Patterson earlier about this, and I want to make mention of it again, because on one thing that I didn't know is that you served in the area of law enforcement, and having family in NYPD and family out Sheriff's Department in California, law enforcement is important to me, and I have a great deal of respect for law enforcement. And as a matter of fact, when talking to parents, oftentimes when I ask them what's most important in a school for their kids, almost all the time I hear their safety.
Yeah, absolutely.
They want their kids to be safe. And I'm just wondering, can you tell me what role can law enforcement play in the education of our kids?
Well, number one, no kid can learn. None of our children can learn unless we make our classrooms conducive to learning. That means the environment. Yeah. Right now, it's an unsafe environment. Kids are afraid to go to school. They're afraid of the fights that are breaking out in there and some of the situations with weapons that have happened on our school grounds. So we're very fortunate at this point in time that one of our youth, you know, has not succumbed to violence.
Yeah.
And my part of my job and my background and my experience and my professionalism is to make sure that I do everything in my power to prohibit that from occurring. And if that means having dialogue, which is very difficult to do in the district when it comes to law enforcement and SROs, just having a dialogue around them, how's it look bringing them back, you know, into our schools? You know, I understand that the chief says they're down like 80 officers and right now it's impossible. But we should prepare ourselves, you know, for the day that they can come back, number one. But in the meantime, how they can, you know, move into our schools and maybe give a presentation on safety or a presentation on, you know, whatever, you know, just to build that relationship, you know, back with our youth. It's very important that we build positive relationships between ourselves, our law enforcement, and the community. And the school's part of the community.
Sure.
And so are the police officers that work in our community and the ones who reside in our community. So it's very important.
So, you know, playing devil's advocate for a second, because I like to do that. So, you know, I know the parents out there and the people, oh, we don't want officers in our school. First of all, they don't trust the officers. And then second of all, they don't want the officers because there's some theories out there that it enhances the school to prison pipeline. And so that having an officer can lend to an immediate arrest or something that would have been dealt with at a lower level by school staff. Now the officer's there, so they're going to deal with it. And this child, it may expedite the prison to school pipeline. So what do you say about that? Because I'm not saying I agree with that, but that's the antithesis perspective that can happen from putting police back into school. So what is your thought on that?
Yeah, so number one, the new term is illiteracy.
Illiteracy to prison.
Right, to prison. So they've changed that, you know, from the school to prison pipeline. And I have the data from RPD that goes way back and shows that there was a constant or consistent decline in individuals that were our young individuals that were arrested inside, you know, our buildings. So when, you know, there might be my colleagues that, you know, bring up the topic of a school to prison pipeline. And but now I have the data to show that that was not occurring, that there was a decline in the individuals that were being arrested by RPD. What individuals should also know is that normally those arrests, they were directed to make those arrests by an administrator. So it wasn't just the cops coming in and saying, oh, we're going to arrest every kid that's fighting in here or whatever the situation was, or drugs or possession of weapons, whatever they were. They were requested or directed, you know, to do those things. What the community has to understand is that the kids want to learn in a safe environment. Every kid can learn if we create an environment for them that's conducive to learning. Right. And if we can draw in law enforcement, which is all a part of community policing, right? We need to get back to that where they know your community. They can separate the good from the bad.
Yeah.
So not everyone's grouped into, you know, one. That's a win-win situation.
Sure.
But to separate the police from our community, that's never good.
So So if you look at the job that law enforcement has to do, whether we're talking about NYPD or RPD or any law enforcement department across the country, we can all agree that it is a very difficult job, and there are obstacles that sometimes prevent you from doing all the things you would want to do. And certainly there's a lot of things that you would do differently if you could. It's a machine. It's difficult. Serving as commissioner of the school board, there has to be obstacles that will prevent you from doing the things you really want to do. What are some of those things?
Well, and that's part of the issue. And everyone knows I don't gossip. I'm quite honest and transparent. When I ran for school board, I knew there were going to be hurdles, but I didn't know there were going to be roadblocks.
Mm.
A hurdle you can get over.
Yeah.
But a roadblock is created to prevent you from getting around it. So when I bring different ideas, again, being a certified teacher, being law enforcement.
Are there other certified teachers on the board?
Yeah, there's one.
Okay.
When I bring the ideas, not only from my prior career, but service and teaching in the classroom, and and those ideas aren't even accepted, and we can't sit down and have a conversation around things that are going to be better for our kids. When we talk about kids that, you know, programs that I know about, Harvard, for example, where they're guaranteed, they have a program that they're working with out west to increase the reading levels of our children. We know that there's a large percentage of kids in the district that are in ninth grade reading on a third grade level. We're failing those kids. So when a college comes in and says, hey, I have a program that I have we can show the goals, the metrics, and the benchmarks to prove it's working. We guarantee you that we're going to increase the reading levels of your students, and therefore the graduation rates graduate on time, and you won't even entertain that individual from Harvard. That's an issue for our community. That's telling me that some individuals, the priority is not the kids, the priority is themselves.
But I gotta understand, so why won't these individuals that are your colleagues, why won't they entertain it? Why won't they have the conversation about something that may be helpful that could create change?
That's the million-dollar question. Why can't we sit down and have a conversation and dialogue around something that is beneficial and proven to help our kids?
All right, well, I'm going to be me now, because I think part of the reason is...
Here it comes.
So the reason why that I believe that it's like that, and I know some of the board members, right? But I believe the reason is it has to do with that people here, and not all people, because there's some great people here, but there's a lot of people in this city that don't want change. They don't want change because it's not good for them. The change will now change or affect the way that they make their money and the way that they do their politics.
Wow.
And so part of this change, so if you do that and you bring this program in and things start to change, guess who's going to get the credit for it? James Patterson's going to get the credit. I don't want James to get the credit because it wasn't my idea. So that's one reason, right?
Team with me.
Then the other reason being that, okay, so if this comes in and changes, now it takes away some of our ability and our authority. It takes away our ability to move or do something that we want to do and our initiatives. And so it's always about money and politics with the adults in Rochester that's creating this wall, and this wall is stopping the good things from coming in that could do something different. So do you agree, disagree? Please argue with me, brother. Tell me that I'm wrong.
No. I definitely will not argue with you. I think that whatever we do as commissioners, we all have our strengths and our weaknesses. And we should be working together as a team where together everyone achieves more. If one commissioner brings in, you know, I'm not looking for any pat on the back. I'm looking to get things done. I'm looking forward to moving the needle forward. I'm looking forward to our kids reading on a level that they can be moved to the next grade and graduating on time. So I'm not here to get any credit. And if anyone knows me personally, they know I don't have any pride in me at all. I'm a very humble individual. And I don't care if someone else gets the credit, you know, for an idea that I might have. Let's just move it forward and move on to the next issue, because there's a lot of issues that we have to deal with in the district.
Yeah.
But when I'm bringing ideas, when I'm talking about maybe esports, you know, exciting kids back into learning and bringing in technology, you know, these kids are gamers, they're gaming all the time. But if that ties into curricula, math, science, and English, and we can excite them back into those curricula, why wouldn't you want to at least sit down and listen and give it an opportunity, give it a chance? And if it doesn't work, we can at least say we did something.
Right.
We tried something different.
Right.
But to sit back and say, I'm not even going to try that at all, and we're doing nothing, you know, to increase these reading levels. And, you know, someone told me the other day, it might have been, you know, from our last interview, that the system is designed. Matter of fact, I was over at East High the other day, and there was a young black man up on the stage that said it. I said, the system is broken. And he said, no, the system's not broken. He said, the system is designed to do exactly what it's doing.
All systems are designed to do what they're doing. Yes. Can I ask you this?
Sure.
Because I've done some work over the years with the Gates Foundation and the Wallace Foundation, National Urban League, Education Trust, all over the city, all over the country. And no matter what state I'm in, everyone knows the state of education in Rochester, New York. West Coast, East Coast, mm-hmm. South, North, they all know about our state of education for all the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. Our graduation rates, even though they're better, arguably better, depending on how you want to look at.
Be careful.
How you want to look at what those measures are for graduation these days.
We can talk about the measurements.
So depending on how you want to look at that, our proficiency rate's still near the bottom. And I'm just wondering, because even though charter schools tend to outperform district schools on average, charter schools are still not doing great in terms of proficiency statewide. And so that's not a great thing to hang our hat on. Do you think, since we're being real, do you think there's any chance at all that charters and districts can work together in Rochester?
I don't think in Rochester, because of the disdain or dislike for charter schools on our board.
Earned or not earned?
What do you mean earned?
The disdain. Earned disdain, not earned disdain.
Not that it's earned. It shouldn't have to be earned. We should all just want to work together for the betterment of the students. And wherever they go, whether it's a charter school, whether it's a private school, whether it's a urban suburban program, wherever it is, if that's a priority, our kids are a priority, they should be able to go wherever they want to go.
What is the issue, though? Why? So I just need to understand. So we have the traditional public school. We have charter schools. We have the ability where we could come together and probably help and support each other and take each other's weakness and turn them into strengths, right? And so there's that ability there if we put the effort in. But the city school district, the traditional city school district, is not interested. Why the disdain? What are they angry about except those two things that I mentioned earlier? Please, what the behind-the-door conversations when they're saying, I hate charter schools, why?
You know, for me, in listening, has, I think, and again, this is just coming from me, not my board, but it has a lot to do with funding and money. How much money goes along with a kid, you know, to a charter school, power, control, with Dr. Rosa, when I talked to her one-on-one, I think I had maybe 4 months on the job, and I said, Dr. Rosa, I think you need to come in and take over this board.
Wow.
You know, I don't think, the way it's operating and functioning at this point in time, what some of the things are being said to board members. And I don't want to go into that, but there's some things that are said that are very inappropriate, you know, in a boardroom that are very hurtful, that are very discriminatory, and should not occur under any circumstance. So it's the environment that needs to be changed, things that should not be accepted in today's day and age.
I wonder how much desire there is for real change. I remember a couple of years ago having a conversation with Chancellor Young and saying to him that he really should spend a little time in Rochester and let's take a look at some of these things, really what's going on. And I recall him saying to me that I've been to Rochester several times and there doesn't seem to be an appetite for change. That's damning.
Well, and again, I think it comes down to money and politics.
Yeah.
The appetite isn't there because the people who are involved in it are okay with being okay. Yeah. And so if you change it, it's going to change their status. It's going to change.
And you mean somebody's pockets or somebody's position? What are you talking
about? Both.
Okay.
I think it has the ability to change both, because if it exposes that you're not doing it or doing it well, then maybe it needs to be done differently. Or maybe you need to learn how to do it, or you need to be okay. Like, people are not okay with someone who is stirring the pot. They're not okay with someone who wants to shake it up a little bit, but shake it up for the right reason, shake it up for the kids. And that's kind of what charter schools do, and have shaken up the environment a little bit.
Makes the public schools compete.
Compete. Competition is healthy.
Absolutely.
We should be able to go out, like you and I, we could go out to a play in a basketball game, we can play in a baseball game, we could wrestle, we could box, we could do whatever it is, but at the end of the day, we're still going to be okay with each other,
right?
Like,
absolutely.
Why can't there be a healthy competition? But I'm going to want to win, you're going to want to win, because we're going to be competing,
right?
And we're going to, competition breeds excellence. And at the same time, you know what, I just think that something needs to give, something needs to change. And I know that they elect school board members, right? But Rochester's notorious. So we have an interesting mentality here in the Rock. You know, there's some great, again, there's great folks. I don't want to make us monolithic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But there's some great folks here, but there's also a lot of folks that are not spending time to educate, but because they know their mama's cousin, because that's my mama's cousin, so I'm going to vote for him or her.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of voting for somebody or doing the research or homework to find somebody
research.
Who actually knows how, and see, often they're not, my theory again is that the board is not governing, they are operating the
Correct.
School district.
Mm. Like administrators.
So, but nobody on your board is trained to be a school administrator.
Right.
So if you're operating and not governing, that could be part of the problem, because you're not doing what you're assigned to do. Could that be the issue?
I think it is. I say this consistently, that, you know, I want to learn how to govern. I want to be a governor. Of course, I've been on another board, so, and I am familiar with governing. But I think there's that line that gets blurred. Mm-hmm. You know, with board members, they try to administer to certain areas when really our only employee is a superintendent.
Right.
And so for me, I've been going directly to the superintendent with any issues. And then if he gives me permission to go to someone else below him, then I'm cool with that. But for the most part, I go directly to him with any issues I have and any positive things that I have to say also. So it isn't just criticizing him and being critical of him.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to call you when you do things right too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, and that's what I've been consistent on that. And he respects that. And I know that because he's told me so. At least, you know, Commissioner Patterson, you're a straight shooter and I know where I stand with you. And I say that respectfully to anyone. I treat everyone the way, you know, we'd want to be treated. And but yeah, you're right when you talk about board members wanting to more administer and get involved in the administration portion. Mm-hmm. You know, we should have nothing to do with hiring.
Yeah.
Hiring right. should be, unless the superintendent. Mm-hmm. We should have, you make be not even be making recommendations for the most part. Mm-hmm. Right? Unless something's wrong, unless we see, you know,
that nepotism is real, right?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely. Nepotism, cronyism, favoritism, quid pro quo
sure.
deals, those should never happen. And I think because they have occurred, you know, and presently occurring within the district, that's why we're in the state we're in.
Do you think the district can be restored, reconstructed, reimagined? Or blown up?
I think that we're doing some things right, and I think that's why we came back today, because I had a good response to this. Maybe not so much the first time. I think that maybe we don't have to implode it.
Okay.
But we have to reconstruct it.
Yeah.
I think the district needs to be reconstructed. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, we're starting to do some things good right now. Just recently, as of a week ago, when we talk about student outcomes, when we talk about SMART goals, we're just starting to talk about these things, and we're in 2024 almost, right? And these things should have been done decades ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So you wonder why we're in the state that we're in.
And I guess I'm confused, because how is the worst district, and when I say that from the state data, with the worst district in New York State, not talking about SMART goals and student outcomes and doing something differently? What is preventing that? What is prohibiting it?
You did not have individuals that had knowledge in those areas. That's why it's important that when you join a board, that you bring something to the board. You know, it's great to have the teaching experience, you know, for myself and one other colleague. But I went away to professional development to learn about student outcomes, you know, and SMART goals. But individuals that have been on this board for decades and years, they should have known that a long time ago. When you're a school board member and you don't know what an IEP is, that's an issue. And you've been on there for years. So
what?
It's it's knowledge. It's going out and seeking knowledge, professional development, and always wanting to grow. You know, every day, if not every week or month or year, you have to be willing to put in the work that it takes to be a good board member. And I'm not saying at this point in time I'm a great board member. I think I'm a good board member.
So help
me. I still have work to do.
I'm helping out then. Maybe Brother Paul can help me with this one. I'm not by background an educator.
Right.
My background is in high tech startups, and so that's where I go on the business side. And I understand the detriment when SMART goals aren't adhered to on the business side. Brother Paul, help me out. If you come up with SMART goals and you find that, yeah, they're strategic, but they're not measurable, what happens then?
So you got to redo the goals.
Yeah, okay. They're not SMART.
They're not SMART. Yeah. So I would redo the goals. If they're not measurable, then you're not able to achieve or receive outcomes. So everything should be about the results. It should be about the kids. And so everything should be tied to this. So again,
everything.
Specific, measurable, attainable, results orientated, and timely, right? And so all that formula needs to be there. And then everything goes back. So the action needs to tie to it. And then everything needs to be about getting results. And if it isn't happening, something needs to change. So whether you start to do something different, whether you start to remove people, whether you start to remove contracts, whether you start to remove unions, whatever you need to do to get the outcomes for the kids, that's what you start to do. And you make sure that's all tied to this goal.
Wow. Okay.
And so people are, what's frustrating is that I bet you a lot of people in your constituency don't want to hear all this or aren't listening. And I bet you, and if I'm, please tell me if I'm wrong again, I bet you you're not everybody's favorite in that boardroom.
I bet you you're not. And are those goals measurable?
Not the current ones we have.
Okay.
So we're just, like I said, this meeting was like last week.
Yeah, but who the heck wrote those goals? Because y'all had a lot of doctors and a lot of fancy titles and other superintendents and other people and all these people. But there's no SMART goals?
No, as a matter of fact, and again, I can't say which superintendent they were under.
I'm not knocking anybody.
You know, let me just not try not to mention any names.
No,
in the past,
no,
but
you ain't got to do that.
But anyhow, you know, when I come on.
Unless you want to.
No. When I come on. You know, I'm just really in a learning phase too, you know, relative to this. And like I said, I didn't know until probably, to be honest with you, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, maybe 4 months ago, I learned about what we're doing wrong, you know, how our goals were constructed and they weren't SMART, and that we'd have to redo them all over again, that, you know, you should only have like 3 to 5, and that it may take you, you know, 3 to 5 years to work on those goals to make sure that, you know, we reach them. So you only have out of that, maybe if you have 3 goals, you know, let's more really realistic. If you have like 5 goals, you may only accomplish 3 of those goals, you know, within that 1 year, you know, maybe 2.
Right. Right.
But okay, you work on those 2. Now you got 3 more to go. If it's 5, you know, next year, work on 1. Next year after, you know, you don't consistently, which I think the board thought you'd have to change the goals or, you know, reestablish those goals. You know, not real established, but change them every year. You don't have to do that.
No,
leave them the way they
them.
Are. Right, exactly. Make sure they're reachable, right? And keep working toward it.
Gotcha.
But, well, you know, they told me that I wasn't I didn't have any large district experience, and they weren't going to interview me. But I've been doing SMART goals for a long time.
Yeah,
you know, and I just find it really interesting that the school board continues to make decisions, and Rochester continues to vote people in who are not willing to do what it takes to make a difference for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
How? What's your commitment? How are you going to make a difference? And then I know we're moving towards closing here.
The school board has a stay out of, you know, other than the superintendent, stay out of the hiring process. Allow we call it human capitals, which is human resources, to make those decisions, to bring in, to look at applications from numerous individuals and then draw those down to just a few, and hire from there. When the board has too much influence on who's hired, if it's a relative, it's a friend, that's when we get into this nepotism, cronyism, favoritism, and you're not hiring the best people for the district.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Not that they might not be able to do the job. I'm not saying that, because we can learn how to do any job. But for someone to hit the ground running and have that knowledge and proficiency into doing that job, you know.
Particularly when we're in a turnaround situation,
right,
that you need to do something quickly. I remember one superintendent here in Rochester came up with a 10-year plan, and I think 6 months later announced that that person was resigning after putting up forth a 10-year plan. Mm-hmm. So there's something that we have to do. If my memory serves me correctly, I'm not sure if it's still on the table, but I remember Brother Paul having some bold proposition of what can be done if we took one school and did something with it.
Right. So we were talking, and this is our promise or our guarantee. So you talk about Harvard guaranteeing, right? So I'm going to tell you that we're going to guarantee this right in your own backyard. So I will guarantee you, and we'll start with a small sample. Reverend Johnson over here, the Alpha and the Omega, have said that we will take, with our organization's support, we will take and give us one school, give us any failing school. I don't care which failing school. Only thing we ask is that we have a leader that's willing, and we have the support to be able to implement and do what is needed. Mm-hmm. And if those things happen, we will take and guarantee that that school will turn around and change. We can help that school. We can teach that leader. We can show them what to do, how to do it, and support them to do it differently if the school district wants that. Now, we're going to throw this challenge out there to you and to your constituents and mm-hmm. see what they say. And we're saying we're even willing to do it for free.
Free.
Mm-hmm. We're not even looking to charge. You know, yep. We're not even looking to make money off of this. You know, we'll do one for free, y'all. And I don't know about all of them, right? But
so that's out there now. Commissioner, I know we got to wrap up, but before we throw it back to Dr. Miller to close us out, I just have to, briefly, if you can help me out with this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you look at what we're staring at in the landscape of Rochester, when you look at all the divisive rhetoric that's going on, the polarized views on education, and a lot of people doing things but not really succeeding in them, and your fight, your personal fight, as you sit in this position on the board, what keeps you getting up in the morning doing this over and over again?
Having lost, like I said, a 19-year-old son to suicide, knowing that this is my calling, that God has provided me with a good pension where I don't have to work, and I don't boast about that. I'm very humble. But he said, James, now you can do my work. You're my servant. This is what I'm directing you to do. This is your purpose now in life.
Yes, sir.
Is to work with youth. Anyone who looks at my resume after 2010,
yeah,
it's all working with Black and Latino males for the most part. You know, some females in there too in programs, but for the most part, I'm mentoring and role modeling Black and Latino males.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been directed to do. That's what I feel God has put on my spirit. I shouldn't even say I feel I know.
Purpose driven.
That's my purpose.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You know, to connect, be a connector, you know, in the community with philanthropists and other individuals who, you know, the Lord has given me an opportunity to sit down at tables with and have conversations with, that this is how we would come in and support your district, and this is why we don't. Right. You know, so that's why we're not interconnected. You know, I know my calling. I know my purpose. And, you know, that's why I'm here.
Well, okay. I get it, brother. No.
He's going to make me forgive you.
Hey, man. You're living in your purpose and your passion, and you are doing what God is calling you to do. So that's a lot of props, a lot of respect. And you know what? There is an opportunity. There's an opportunity for change, an opportunity to do something different. If we were able to work together, if we were able to come together, we could do something special for the city. And that's the thing. Like you said, you lost a child. You know what? We need to stop losing children.
Yeah.
We're losing too many children because adults are in the way. Adults are in the way with their politics, worried about the money. And guess what? What I've found over the years is that God will provide.
Yes.
So you will be provided for if you just do what he wants.
Absolutely.
So if you do what he wants and you do things the right way, you will have everything you need and almost everything you want.
That's right.
And so you will be blessed. But it is hard when you are standing in the way of progress and you're standing in the way of what he wants. And so what I'm imploring people is to stop standing in the way. Stop standing in the way, move out the way, and guess what? There's an opportunity for us to move the needle and do things better if we come together and collaborate and put the differences aside and understand, but also stop running from it. Stop hiding. I appreciate Brother James Patterson coming in today and not hiding from the truth, hiding from what's going out there, whether you like him, whether you dislike him, whatever it is. This brother is speaking his truth. He's speaking the truth, and that's what we're about on this show. We're about speaking the truth, letting the facts out there, letting people understand that we're not here at war with each other. We're here together, but to get it out there, we got to do something different. We got to be able to talk about it. We got to be able to do the things that we're doing. And so we thank everybody for listening. Until next time, we're moving the needle.
Let's move that needle.
Thanks for listening to this podcast on the WDKX Podcast Network.
Provided by Vision Automotive.